As you may know, for some years now, I've been serving as a translator during the Feast of Tabernacles. So I was not surprised receiving an email from Mr. Norbert Link with the proposed assignments for the speakers for the feast. I thought it was a list about who is going to translate whom, but it wasn't. It was a list about who will be giving a sermonette or a sermon. When I realized, I then scrolled through more attentively and saw the names of brethren who had already been giving sermons or sermonettes, but then I saw names of brethren who hadn't. So then I saw first Daniel's name, Christian's name, Dimitri's name, and my name. As you may guess from my reaction, I wasn't too happy about it. It made me uncomfortable. I would have liked to get out of this. Why can't I just remain a translator? I've got nothing to say, really. Well, can you see the wrong attitude, actually, in this? What does God have to say about such an attitude? Let's have a look. Please turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And for this sermonette, we are going to stay in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Some may already know about what we are going to read. In Luke 19, we are going to read the parable of the 10 minas, as some headings have it. Luke 19, and we're going to start in verse 12. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Luke 19, verse 12 says, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back." This man of noble birth represents Jesus Christ. The servants represent true converted Christians who, by being baptized into his name, receive of the Holy Spirit, pictured by the minas. God tells us here that we have to put his Holy Spirit to work. We have to use it. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us that we have to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. And in Luke 3, verse 8, we are told to bring fruits worthy of repentance, meaning to change our behavior for the better, which we only are able through God's power, the Holy Spirit. That was Luke 3, verse 8. What does this parable say about the servant who had the same attitude which I described at the beginning? Well, let's read. Let's continue in verse 20. Luke 19, verse 20. "Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and reap what you did not sow.'" The parallel scripture in Matthew 25:25, and I'm not going to turn there, the German Albrecht Bibel from 1926 says, in a side note, he was afraid to lose it by doing trade with it. The unprofitable servant, which, by the way, is the title of this sermonette, the unprofitable servant was afraid to use the abilities and the Holy Spirit God had given him. He was afraid to use God's Holy Spirit to overcome, to fight against sin, to learn for and pass the tests that were prepared for his growth. Because, as it says in Matthew, he knew that the noble man was a hard man. He may have been afraid of not succeeding, of not meeting God's expectations. Or he didn't really know God because God did put in and he did so. None of the servants were forced to follow him. They chose to be. The nobleman did not demand from them what they were not able to do. In the parallel scripture in Matthew, it says that the nobleman gave to each according to his ability. Either way, he had no valid excuse. He simply did not obey the nobleman. Being afraid, per se, is not wrong. You don't have to turn there, but Philippians 2, verse 12 says, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, verse 12. And I'm quoting Proverbs 1, verse 7, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That was Proverbs 1, verse 7. Fearing God means to pay him respect and to be afraid of breaking his law, being afraid of not obeying him. As well as pride and jealousy can be godly traits, having the right kind of fear is very important. The unfaithful servant may have feared God, but not in the right way. If he would have been afraid about not obeying God's command, he would have put to work what was given to him. What then was the consequence for his insubordination? Let's continue in verse 24. Luke 19, verse 24. The nobleman said, take this mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, and that is good works, more will be given, meaning he will receive more of God's spirit and knowledge now and rewards in the kingdom. But as for the one who has nothing, meaning who has no works, even what they have will be taken away. Verse 27, but those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. God's Holy Spirit was taken away from him. He was called an enemy and he was killed. By not putting to work what was given to him, the unprofitable servant did not obey God. Those who do not obey God are his enemies, and they will ultimately be erased from existence and memory for all eternity. By being watchful to the signs of the times, we can clearly see that Christ's return is near. But that doesn't mean that we still have many years ahead of us. To then someday maybe put God's gift to work, to bring fruit, to change our behavior, to develop God's character. Please turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. You could say that at our baptism, a seed is planted into us that has to grow through God's Holy Spirit, the living water, and the spiritual food, his word, that has to be and is being proclaimed by his true ministry, the seed is nourished. In Luke 13, starting in verse 6, we read the parable of the barren fig tree. Luke 13, verse 6, and I'm reading through verse 9. A man, that is God the Father, had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, that is Jesus Christ, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Verse 8. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. God has great patience with his servants, that is all of us. But he sets limits. Unfaithful and unprofitable servants will be cut down, not only when he has actually returned to this earth, but earlier than that, since he can return to us individually at any time. He will have returned in the next split second of our consciousness after we died. He says that he is going to return at a time we do not know, and like a thief in the night. And some thieves take lives. Let us therefore have godly fear and grow in God's grace through good works and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ by studying his word, the Bible, and pay attention to the admonitions of his true and faithful ministers whom God placed into the church to help us make it into his kingdom. Let us all be profitable servants and bring much fruit so that the nobleman, when he returns, can say, "Well done, good and profitable servant, you were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Everything that God prepares for us and wants us to do is beneficial for our growth and ultimately beneficial for everyone.